That's good. All right. So, you know, the whole idea of understanding what Jesus did for us is obviously it's important, obviously, regardless. But I think that the people that understand that importance most are the people that have already tasted that the Lord's good. The Bible says you have to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. When the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good, he is talking about that you have to have a little glimpse first of who the Lord is before you desire to know him further. People that don't value the Lord are people that don't know the Lord. And the reason why people don't value, don't want to get to know him, is because they haven't taken that first glimpse or they've forgotten it. It's an odd place to be. Sometimes you want to value the Lord more and you don't value the Lord the way you even want to. It's a weird feeling because you'd almost think if you want to value something, you value it. But sometimes if with your own feelings, you feel like, I don't value the way I want to value. I want to be like excited. I think that's maybe what we're talking about. We're talking more emotional stuff. I want to be like excited about you. I want to be like, I want to see that you're everything. And you actually genuinely desire that, but you need a glimpse of that to incite that desire. Okay, the Bible says that it says to desire the pure milk of the word. This is 1 Peter, I think it is. Or 2 Peter. But regardless, I think it's 1 Peter though. Desire the pure milk of the word, he said. So it's good for especially those who are Christians to desire the word of God. And he said desire the pure milk of the word. But he put a little clause at the end, and not a Santa Claus. I mean like a clause, like a little statement at the end in the fine print. He says, in that little piece afterwards, he goes, desire the pure milk of the word. He said, if, so check this out. He said the only way one should desire the word of God is if indeed, he said, you have tasted. Why would he say that? He said, let's just say it this way. Desire to know Jesus. Desire to know Jesus, he says. If you've tasted first. Why would he say that? Because God doesn't want you to just make up some fake desire. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't try to come up with a fake desire for God. Anything that we want from God, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want everything to be genuine. Like, I don't want it to be fake. It's like when I would pray in tongues when I was little. Like, I just knew I was forcing stuff, and I'm like, this is not right. And so, sometimes people encourage that, even forcing it. But I'm like, I want the real thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to settle for, like, oh, it's fake, and I just keep faking it until you make it kind of thing. I want it to be the real thing. So that's why I've talked to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do this because I'd rather not do anything than do something fake. So we want a real desire for the Lord, right? And guess what? That real desire for the Lord is not something you have to conjure. You know what happens? It says, if indeed you've tasted, a glimpse of Jesus is what gives you the desire to know him more. You have to taste of the knowledge first, and then it gives you the desire to know him more. Specifically, it's talking about like a baby Christian specifically in that passage. He's talking to people who he wants them to like start their relationship with the Lord. You know, he wants them like to really like start this thing. He wants them to really get this thing going. He says, so I want you to desire the word of God. You know, I don't want you to spend time with God because you have to. That's, again, it's stupid, it's fake, it's not going to produce any profit. The Bible said the only way that you're going to see any fruit from spending time with the Lord is if you delight in it. And that's Psalms chapter 1. You can check me up on it. It's only if you delight in the law of the Lord are you going to see fruit from that. And are you only going to prosper? The only people that prosper from the word of God are not the people that do it as a discipline. The people that delight themselves in it. And say, Jesus, there's something good here. I'm going to delight in this. But anyhow, so we want to delight. We want to delight in the Lord. We want to desire him. We want the real thing. We don't want a fake thing. We don't want to like pretend. We want the real thing. We want to really want Jesus. We want to really want to know him, right? Well, if you really want to get to know Jesus, like it's a complicated emotion, right? If you really want to desire to get to know Jesus, just to make it a little bit more wordy, but you get obviously what I'm saying. If you want to value him, but you don't feel like you value him the way you want to value him, you have to glimpse of Jesus, and it's the glimpse of Jesus that will produce that desire. So okay. For someone that's not saved, they need someone to preach to them, and then they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't live without this." And then they desire the Lord, right? But for someone who is a Christian that wants to value the Lord more, you know what you need? Listen to Jesus. You just shut up and stop trying to conjure something of yourself. You just shut up and you say, Jesus, I'm just going to listen to you. You know why? Because if he speaks to your heart, you know what happens? He gives you a word. You got to listen to him though, right? He gives you a word. That one little word will spark that desire in your mind. And guess what? There it is. So don't be all stupid, you know, if I'm going to say it politely, I'd say something else. But don't be stupid and say, I'm backslidden. I don't desire Jesus anymore. What's wrong with me? Maybe you forgot something. Or maybe right now, maybe you're missing right now what the Lord's speaking to you right now. That's why it feels dry or something like that. You know what I mean? Because God's word is not dry. So if something feels dry right now, so just wait on it and say, Jesus, I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to listen to you so that you can speak to me. And in that little, even just that little glimpse of, wow, that's Jesus all over again. You get that little, oh my gosh, moment again. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, the little glimpse, that little taste again is what he says produces the desire. He didn't say desire the word of God. Peter didn't. You don't have to do that. He didn't say desire the word of God. He said desire the pure milk of the word, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Once you see how good God is and he speaks something to you and like, remember me? Pow, yeah. Oh, there it is. And then you desire him. You see, desire comes from tasting. Desiring to know God. If you want to value God, valuing God comes from glimpsing that he is really gracious. He is really good. So listen. Listen to Jesus. Focus your attentions on who he is. Then he will speak to you of who he is. And that little glimpse or that taste that he is gracious will spark a desire for the pure milk of the word. If you want the verse, I will give you the verse. I'll give it to you afterwards, though. All right, so let's keep going with this, though. I just want to mention that. So the point is that we want to know Jesus, and that's a good desire, right? So if you're saying, regardless of what stage you're at right now, we may be at different stages in things like this, but what we've been talking about recently has been how we get to know the Lord, right? I've been talking so much about some particular aspect of the knowledge of God. We've been talking more about how to get to know God. We haven't been really talking so much about some particular aspect of who Jesus is. We've been talking about more the method in which you find those things out. But you kind of get, we're talking about, obviously, what Jesus did at the cross, but we're talking about particularly, in specific, that this is what Jesus is to us, that we might know those things, right? We've been talking about the Bible would call it the key of knowledge, the thing that unlocks everything that's on the inside of you, and which is the knowledge of God. If knowing Jesus is like a key that unlocks everything on the inside of you, if knowing Jesus is like a key that unlocks all the things on the inside of you, that they become effective in you, the knowledge of Jesus is like that. When you know Jesus, it unlocks everything inside of you, and that's biblical. It unlocks everything inside of you. It makes you take advantage of everything on the inside of you, the knowledge of Jesus. So the knowledge of Jesus is awesome, and that's what makes it to be desired. Because it when you see the fruit that it carries with it, we just read this not that long ago in Proverbs chapter 2, all the fruit that it carries with it, to know Jesus is this, to know Jesus is that, to have the wisdom of Jesus, it produces all this fruit. And if it carries all this fruit with it, if it's the key to unlock all the things that are on the inside of you, that you walk in these things, that you experience these things, that the plan of God comes out of you and is performed in your life effortlessly, if that's true, then obviously knowing Jesus is an awesome thing. But and because it's so important, we need to know properly then how to receive of the knowledge of Jesus. And that's the thing that people don't know, I don't believe, how to receive the knowledge of Jesus. You know, so many people do talk about faith today. People talk about things like that. And faith is basically kind of like saying the knowledge of Jesus, really. And people talk about all these things, but there is a particular way to get to know Jesus. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Okay, 28 verse 1. I read this just recently, right? Oh, sorry, and I'm going to switch to King James for this, all right? Because the New King James says the word obey here. It says obey the voice of the Lord, and that's not the word obey, it's the word hear. So I'm going to switch to King James. Young's literal probably says, yes, it's the same thing. So let's read in King James. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your... Pay attention to all these blessings, okay? These are very important. These are the fruits it's describing of hearing Jesus, okay? Very important. Of believing Jesus, actually, I should say, to be more specific. Because these things don't just come from hearing. They come from hearing unto the point of faith, right? That's what it is. Not people that hear and don't keep hearing the Lord. Not people that hear and get sidetracked with everything else and they don't continue unto the full assurance of faith. I'm talking about hearing unto faith, right? Look at all these blessings. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your kine. I believe kine is like cattle, like cows. And the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall you be your basket and your store. That just means your storehouse. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall cause your, check this out, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten, that means to be struck, before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. It's the promise of God, right? It's the promise of God. It says that the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you. Watch, listen closely to this. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten. Again, that word smitten means like, it's kind of like you would say smack today, but it means to strike. So they will be struck before your face. The enemies that rise up against you, God promises, if you do the things he says above, which we may talk about that in a second. If you do the things that it said above, this will happen. He didn't say it might happen. Okay? So if you, this is kind of like a little checkpoint in the message here. We have to make sure things are okay here. Do a little pit stop before we can keep going. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? That he said that if you do the things of above, these blessings will not, it's not that they might happen. They have to happen. You don't, we talked about this a little while ago, actually. He gave some things that you have to do, right? And that, which just makes sense, right? These things don't come upon everybody. Otherwise, everybody would be walking in these things, right? Makes sense that there must be something that I got to do different from the world in order to walk in these things, right? So he does give you some things to do here. And that's in quotes, some things to do, right? Which we'll explain that. But he does give things to do up above. And then he goes on the blessings of, if you do these things, these blessings will come upon you. Now, he didn't say they might come upon you. These are not optional blessings. Okay? These are not optional. You don't choose which one of these you like and which one of these you don't. You have to walk in these things if you do the things above. God said, you do this, I'm going to do this to you. You don't get to choose. If you do this, God's going to do this in your life. If you do this, God's going to do this in your life. If God's not doing this in your life right now, it's either one of two things. It's either you need to continue in the good word. If you have heard the good word, then you need to continue in that good word and these things will be produced in your life. Or it could be that somebody does not know the good word of God. And therefore, of course, they wouldn't get the fruit of the good word of God if they don't have the good word of God. But it can be lack of knowledge or it needs continuance in knowledge. But regardless of which one it is, if you will continue in the things that are written in the book of Deuteronomy, these things will come upon you and overtake you. And that's a promise from God. They're not optional. Here's one of the blessings that he names. This is one of the results that it's not optional, right? It's not optional. You believe correctly about Jesus, this happens in your life. I love Jesus, right? Because Jesus, he has the power to guarantee you things. People don't have that strength. Like they try to come through the best they can. Jesus has the power to always follow up on the things he's spoken in his word. He has the power to do it. He's almighty. He has the power to do it. It's not up to you to pick your blessings. It's not up to you to try to produce them. You do this, this gets produced. Here's one of them. The Lord shall, that's a promise, he shall cause your enemies that rise up against you. Anyone that rise up against you, he will cause them to be struck down before your face. They shall come against you one way, but they'll flee from you seven ways. In other words, he will scatter your enemies. Right? These are the blessings of God. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and all that you set your hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. This is the way that things ought to be. there are obviously people persecuted, mock believers and all that stuff. God wants to work in your life that will make people that don't believe on him afraid of you. It's the way that it should be. Why? You look for yourself. They shall be afraid of you. Shouldn't they be? Shouldn't people be afraid? Listen to this. Shouldn't people be afraid? Shouldn't it make them afraid? Not of you, per se. Shouldn't it make them afraid to mock someone who's the Lord's? Shouldn't that make them afraid? It should make them afraid. The same God who said, vengeance is mine, vengeance for his people, is the God that they're mocking by mocking you. It should make them very afraid. The Bible actually says, check this out, if somebody mocks you or criticizes you or comes out against you, it says they do it because they don't understand you. It says they speak against things they don't understand, is what it says. I believe it's in Jude. And so it's only because they don't understand. Because if they even understood a little bit, they would be afraid. And so it says, so, but anyway, this is the way that it should be. Let's just finish reading this. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Now that is not talking about spiritual. And I'm not, just so you know, every time I see the word rich or good or honor or something like that in the Bible, I'm not a person to just always be like, oh, just screw with the context and let's make it sound like it's talking about physical riches. Let's just see whatever God's saying, right? That's where the prophet's coming from. I don't believe that this is talking about spiritual heavenly riches, okay? You shall be, he'll make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open up his good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain unto you in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Again, it's still talking about physical things. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. In other words, you will be so plenteous in goods that people will want to borrow money from you. Or obviously the context is not money. That's just the way we relate to it. It's physical things, right? Because it's not that God gives you dollars. God gives you the power to get wealth. If we were trading cattle, he'd make you plenteous in cattle. If we trade dollar bills, he'll make you plenteous in dollar bills. Because he doesn't give you the earthly thing. He gives you the power. We could be on Mars right now, and I don't believe that people will live on Mars, but we could be on Mars right now trading credits or whatever it is in some futuristic thing, and God would make you plenteous in credits. You know what I'm saying? Because he gives you the power. He doesn't give you the goods. He gives you the power, and it makes you plenteous in whatever you need. So, with that said, people want to borrow from you. You'll have so much that people want to borrow from you, and you won't have to borrow. Again, this is a blessing. This is not something that you perform. This is not a commandment. This is what God does for you, that you may not borrow, but that you'd lend unto many nations, and you would not have to borrow. Borrowing from somebody else means you need, and God would rather the people of the world be in need and have to ask you. That's the way that God wants it. And if this is a blessing that comes when you, and we'll talk about that in a second, we'll talk about those things. But this is something that God does. That's why he said, the Lord shall make, the Lord shall make, the Lord shall make. These are all blessings that God will perform as we keep his commandments, right? And we'll explain that. So you lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. So we're going to stop right there. So let's talk real quick about these commandments, just to give it a good explanation. We obviously know the commandments here are written in Deuteronomy. I'm just explaining this just to give it a little recap. We know the commandments in here are not talking about the Ten Commandments, because it depends, right? The word commandment doesn't always mean the same thing. There are portions of the Bible where it says that Joshua commanded so-and-so. Is that talking about the Ten Commandments? No, because it's talking about Joshua commanded so-and-so. What does that mean? It means whatever he commanded the person. This commandment happens to be, we know, the New Covenant commandment, the law of faith, all those kind of good things. I'm not going to explain it all. But that's why, just so you know, when reading Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, the law of faith is not the only law that's spoken of in Deuteronomy. It took me a little bit to see this. The Lord showed me this. But look at this. He says, the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. The commandment that went forth that day that he spoke these things in Deuteronomy was love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the law of faith. That was the only law that was spoken uniquely this day. So when he says to follow the commandments that I give you this day, that's, you know, it's talking about the law of faith. That was the only law that was spoken that day, that you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, which is faith. Now, there are portions of Deuteronomy, though, where he starts talking about this law. He just says this law. He doesn't say that I command you this day. He just says this law. That very well may be, you may be reading a portion of Deuteronomy that's talking about the Ten Commandments. He mentions the Ten Commandments, but the only law that was mentioned uniquely this day that was not mentioned in any other day previous was the law of faith. Okay? So when you're reading Deuteronomy, trust me, there are still questions I have about Deuteronomy. There's a chunk in the middle that I kind of get the idea of it, but there's specifics that I want the Lord to show me. Like I said, I get the general idea. But one big thing with reading Deuteronomy is that when he says, command you this day, that's talking about the law of faith, all right? So he says, you have to keep the commandments that I'm commanding you this day in order for these blessings to come upon you. Now, here's a misconception. Can I share a real quick misconception with you? Deuteronomy, we just read the blessings, but Deuteronomy also has another list of curses, all right? It has a blessing list and it has a cursing list. Now, watch this. People say, because people don't understand the law of faith. Just so you know, I've never, ever, 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 ever heard another person teach on the law of faith, except at this church, okay? Not saying they don't exist, but it's not common. But anyway, let's get right straight to the point. There's a list of blessings here, and this is not talking about the blessings if you were to keep the Ten Commandments. These are the blessings that would come upon you. People teach that. They say, no one can ever keep the Ten Commandments. People will say, this is a list of blessings that are, if you could keep the Ten Commandments, these are the blessings that would come upon you. And that's not true. If you keep what commandments, these blessings will come upon you? The one that he gave that day. This is talking about the law of faith. Let's jump all the way back up, though. You remember all those blessings, though, right? He named a lot of things. That's just all the fruit that comes from knowing Jesus, is what it is. If you, let's get out of the terminology of the word commandment. He's talking about faith. He's talking about believing in Jesus. He's talking about the knowledge of Jesus. If you understand Jesus, he's saying, these blessings will come upon you. They'll overtake you if you understand Jesus. So then it behooves us, for lack of a better word, to want to know, how do I understand Jesus? How can I get to know Jesus? Because this is good fruit, right? It's good fruit. This is stuff Jesus already paid for, put on the inside of you. And he said, these things will come upon you. They'll overtake your life when you understand these things and acknowledge them. But the thing is, though, as Christians, we hear this, right? Especially, you know, again, people that know Jesus, people that have heard the word of God. You want to know Jesus more. You want it because there's a zeal there, because you want to know Jesus more. Even if you want to know him more, even if you want to value him more still, you still value him, though. You want to get to know him more. And especially when he starts talking about all the good things that God wants to do in your life and the plan of God, and we talk about all this fruit, all the more reason you say, Jesus, I want to get to know you because you're inside of me, but Jesus, you are good. You're the only good in this whole world. I want the good that you are to me on the inside. I want that I want to be conformed to that on the outside. He names all these good things, and they all come from keeping that commandment that he commanded that day, which is faith, which is understanding. So how do we do that then? And this is, I never read this before. I don't know how I read over this. This is the only reason the Lord showed me this. In the law of faith, because Deuteronomy means second law. Deuteronomy itself, it testifies of itself that it is a new law, a second law. Not the Ten Commandments, a new law. Keep this law. Look what happens. Look, and watch this though. But look at what this book, what God wrote here, as this is how. He didn't just say to believe Jesus. He didn't just say, understand me. He didn't just say, if you do this, if you get it, then you'll experience all these results. He said, right here, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments. Look at this. If you will hearken diligently, that word, or the words hearken diligently, we said downstairs, is the word hear, put twice. So he's saying, if you will listen, or hear, if you listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. So hold on, that's the first step he gives here. Listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Two. That word two, you know what that word two is? It means resulting in. Resulting in. Let's read it that way. If you will listen unto the voice of the Lord your God, that it may result in observing and doing all his commandments. Those commandments, he's talking about loving the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your strength, strength of your mind. That's what he's talking about. Faith comes by hearing. Faith, but hearing what? We know Romans 10, where it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that. But the thing is, that's taught so often, and it's often used for reading the Bible. But that's not where faith comes from. Faith doesn't come from reading the Bible. This says it differently. You could say, look, just focus on this verse with me real quick. He says, if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God, that will result in keeping and observing his commandments. Now, knowing that this commandment is faith, let's read it that way. If you'll hear the voice of the Lord your God, you will come to what? Faith. You will be able to believe. You'll be able to understand. You'll be able to know. So you could say this. Faith comes from hearing the voice of the Lord your God. Let's say, and hopefully you already see this, but I'll go over it one more time so you see it really solidified. If you do this. So he's saying you can't keep my commandment here. I give you this commandment, Deuteronomy, bam, the law of faith. Only believe Jesus. But he said you can't observe this only if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. May you observe this commandment. This commandment cannot be performed by itself. It needs to be performed in order for all these things, this fruit, to come forth. Of course, you need to understand what you have in Christ for these things to come forth. But that understanding cannot come from you. It needs to come from the voice of the Lord your God. This is why when Romans says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, this is why recently I haven't been phrasing it exactly the same way so that we can detract our mind from the common perception of that verse. Faith comes by hearing and hearing what God has to speak to you right now. God speaking to you. Faith comes from him, from his voice. This is why here it doesn't say the word of God, it says the voice of the Lord your God. Only when you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God will you be able to observe. Will it result in observing and doing all his commandments, which is that those commandments is loving the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind, right? Faith comes by hearing. You can see it right here. The commandment is faith, and this says to hear so that you can keep the commandment. That means faith, or the commandment, observing the commandment, comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the voice of God. That makes God's voice the most important thing. That actually, you see, because faith comes from just hearing Jesus, this what it ends up being to us is, it's true, faith is obedience, but it leaves you with only one thing to receive. His voice. That voice, his voice, which he speaks, remember downstairs we said he speaks to you from his Holy Spirit into your mind, we said downstairs. That's how God speaks. So downstairs was a good preempt to what we're saying right now. That's the voice of God. The voice of God, he's not going to speak to you through creation. He's not going to speak to you through somebody else. God can speak through somebody else, but that's not his method of communication to you. God communicates to you, and I'm not saying, let's not do what the Bible says not to do also. The Bible says don't despise prophetic, don't despise prophecy, don't despise as if, oh, that's not God speaking. It's not about despising, it's about saying, God communicates to me from inside of me. And you can take it, but you take it the right way. You take it and receive it as confirmation. You see, there's two different things. We don't take things external to us as the voice of God to us. We take things external to us at best as if it is God, that is a confirmation to me, to confirm me in his word, to confirm me in where I'm going in getting to know him, whatever it is. So the voice of God becomes very important when you realize that's how faith happens. Faith is born. I heard someone just say this recently. It's true. Faith is born out of hearing Jesus. And all this fruit comes from that. If we just listen to Jesus, if we learn to hear him, instead of trying to make our own way, instead of trying to think for ourselves, the opposite of thinking for yourself is listening to Jesus. Because one way, you make your own thoughts. You come up with your own ideas. And here, you're not obligated to think anything but what the Lord speaks to you. You're not obligated to come up with any revelation of yourself. You're not obligated to come up with some good news of yourself. You're not obligated to come up with anything else or think on anything else other than what God is speaking to you. You see, this way, instead of thinking for yourself, if you do what it says here, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. That's the opposite of thinking for yourself. When you're listening to Jesus' voice, you no longer have to come up with your own thoughts because he'll speak them to you. You don't have to come up with your own revelation. Or you have to come up with, what's the word of God for me today? He'll speak it to you. You see, it relieves you of the concept of trying to come up with something, especially if you're going through a problem, especially if you're going through something, especially in those times. We especially in those times want the word of God. We want to know, what should I be thinking about this? You know what I mean? Especially when something happens, you want to be able to perceive things correctly. You don't want to just walk like blindly through this. You want to make sure that my mind is correct. And that's fine. But that comes from the voice of God, and you don't have to come up with that yourself. You see, when we worry, the Bible said that we cannot do the least with our worry. That means all of our worry and all of our fears can't produce anything godly. And all worry and fear comes from is taking burden on yourself that God wants to be the one to speak to you what is right for you to think. You are not obligated to think on anything or meditate on anything other than what God has spoken to you, is speaking, I should say, to you. What if someone gives you that quick verse? Meditate on this and you'll get this result. I'm not interested in a verse. I'm interested in the voice, because only faith only comes from the voice. You see? And I'm not talking about a show. Jesus' voice, the voice of the Lord your God. Faith comes from that voice right there. Hearing that voice, faith is not something you have to try to do. This is what's awesome about, this is why we can have an obedience and yet be at complete rest. How can God say, I'm going to give you complete rest, but just believe me? Then you would say, well, is that really complete rest? Because I still have to believe Jesus. But the thing is, it's true. There's one thing that's necessary. You need to listen to Jesus unto faith, though. That's the way it is. You listen. Your faith comes from receiving something. Your faith, in other words, being able to see Jesus, an enlightenment in your heart, comes from receiving something. That's the one thing God wants you to do. I want you to believe Jesus. But how do you believe Jesus? Listen. This is the full explanation right there on the law of faith. Because this, no better place to find about the law of faith than Deuteronomy itself. And God writes here, listen to my voice. Two, that means resulting in observing and doing all these commandments. You see, God wants us to know Jesus. God wants people to know Jesus. Now, for someone that's not saved, they can't just listen to the voice of the Lord their God, because the Lord is not their God. And they don't have his voice on the inside of them. So what they have to do, we've explained this in the past, but they have to have one of us. Another one, I'm talking about someone that is a believer. They need a preacher. But this is talking about Christians, okay? This is talking about someone who is looking to observe this law of faith. Someone who's looking to know Jesus, and it says, just listen. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. All right, let me explain something. Paul, we talked about Paul a while ago, right? This is a little bit of a sort of a turn here, okay? But that's okay. Paul, we talked about Paul a few services ago. I left it in the message. But we were talking about Paul, and I want to share this. Paul is somebody who, the Apostle Paul, he wrote like 2/3, people say, of the New Testament. Paul is absolutely, was ordained by God to be an apostle. And things that are written in this Bible were written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the hand of Paul, right? Now, the concept, though, that people get is that because somebody wrote something, right, in the Bible, they assume two things. They assume, one, as if they can never go wrong in their knowledge. Two, people even, I believe, are under the impression that everything the Holy Spirit wrote through these people, they understood. And that's not even true. Just so you know, even the people in the Old Testament specifically didn't even understand what they were writing. They had to seek God about, what is this talking about? So if it's written by the Holy Spirit, that's why it's correct. The New Testament is not correct because Paul had full knowledge. the New Testament is correct because we believe the Holy Spirit wrote it, and it was God ordained, and it was happened through the hand of a person. But it's not correct because Paul had this full revelation of Jesus, and therefore just kind of was just sharing a little bit with us lowly Christians what he has to give us. Paul had the Holy Spirit like us, and God can speak something perfect through you just like he did through Paul. You know, sometimes we almost think like, well, everything we say, nothing we ever say is really ever going to be perfect. Well, that's silly then, because then you don't believe the Bible is without error. Because then how could Paul write something that you're saying is absolutely perfect and without error? And he wrote a lot at that. Moses wrote the first 5 books is what people believe. And we believe that that's the word of God. We call that these the words of God, written and penned through people. How could that be written and be correct? Because they had full knowledge? No, of course not. Of course not. There are people that the Bible even writes about, like Jacob, for instance. You read about Jacob's life, and there were things he said that were not right. You read about even Job. He was corrected by God. There are men of God, especially in the Old Testament, but men of God even in the New Testament, that you see marked things in their life that, you know what, that's not to be agreed with. They very well may be written in the Word of God because they did happen, their true accounts. That doesn't mean, though, that we have to agree with everything that people, whether an apostle or a prophet or a teacher, it doesn't matter, in the Bible, doesn't mean we agree with all those things. I don't agree with lots of things that Jacob said and did. You read about Jacob's life, and you're like, man, like, that wasn't right to say, or that wasn't right to do. You know, and God worked in his life because he believed Jesus. But anyhow, that's my point, right? So let's soak in that for a second, because what I'm going to say right now is, like, weird for some reason to people, and it shouldn't be. It's not weird, okay? We just read about all the blessings that will come upon you and overtake you, okay? Let's read that again. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 says, if you will listen to Jesus, basically, then you will come to faith. That's just a paraphrase of verse 1. If you listen to Jesus, you'll come to faith. You don't got to worry about that. You listen to Jesus. You let Jesus build that in your mind. Just so you know, Jesus will tear down things that are not of faith, and he will build up in your mind words of faith. Jesus is able to do that. We get to just listen to him. Now, it mentions hear. That means listen to Jesus. Focus on him. But you know what, though? If you don't hear something right now, you know what you don't do? You don't have to make something up. You don't got to make something up in your mind. Say, you know what, Jesus? I have your voice. I'm going to be confident in you instead of be confident in me. I don't got to make something up right now, Lord. I just acknowledge you right now, Jesus. I don't have to start putting in my own little thing in my mind, try to slip this in, slip that in, just to try to encourage myself. Gee, I want your, you know, we want the voice of Jesus. He'll speak to you, and that's a promise. You acknowledge him, he will direct you. We just read that. And if you listen and you acknowledge him, that's what listening is. You acknowledge him, acknowledge the voice of the Lord your God. You will come to faith. That's a promise. You will come to faith. He will build faith in your mind. He will build a strong perception of himself in your mind. That's amazing, right? Jesus will build a strong perception, a firm perception of himself unto a perfect man, the Bible says. He will mature your thinking. He will renew your mind. Who washed the feet of the disciples? In other words, renewed their feet, renewed their mind. Who did it? Jesus did. He will soak your mind in his word. You just acknowledge Jesus. And we have some learning to do about this, just so you know. This is the beginnings of the Lord showing us something. We have some learning to do about this. That means you get more fruit, even in regards to hearing God, as you continue to learn more about how to hear God. This is the beginnings of it. But we know this thus far. This is what the Lord's shown us. And you judge for yourself, right? But we know this, though. I know this for sure. I get to listen to Jesus, and he's going to wash my feet. So, paraphrasing the verse 1, it says, if you'll listen to Jesus, faith will come. And what happens when faith comes? Verse 2, then all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. If you will hear, that's the word hearken, if you will hear the voice of the Lord your God. See, there he didn't even mention faith. Why didn't he even mention faith there? Because faith will come. Just listen. You don't have to mention faith. You're already on the right track if you listen to Jesus, right? But here's my point. Why mention Paul then? Why mention Paul in the mix of all this? Why did I go into what I just said before? Because Paul was a man. Just so you know, and this is where you have to, don't view things the way you think. You just view things the way that the Lord puts them right here. Paul was a man that did not have certain understanding in regards, I believe specifically in regard to persecution, but in regards to what it was, right? Paul had specific knowledge missing in his mind that allowed certain things in his life that should not have been there. Okay? Should not have been there. Did not have to be there. And it was not a godly thing that happened. It was an ungodly thing that happened. Am I disrespecting Paul? God forbid. He's our brother in Christ, and thank God we've received from Paul. And I'm not saying, obviously, I get the whole thing, but we receive from the Holy Spirit. I get that. But from what Holy Spirit did in Paul, we've received from that, have we not? He wrote the Bible, dude. Paul. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't use him, okay? That's not my point. Like, I just quoted Paul downstairs, right? And why is it true? Because the Holy Spirit wrote it. I don't take it just because Paul said it. Because Paul, just so you know, because he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course he's going to be right. Paul didn't even understand fully everything he was writing. How do I know that? Otherwise, he'd be perfect. Otherwise, the resurrection would have come externally for Paul already, and he'd be immortal. He'd still be with us today, in the flesh. That's how I know he didn't understand everything he was writing. But more so than not understanding everything. Because, like, remember I said in the beginning of the message, there's a difference between lacking knowledge and I'm growing in the knowledge. I have the knowledge, but I'm just growing in it. I'm getting deeper into this knowledge. There's a difference, okay? Because I tell you, Paul lacked knowledge, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more. Paul lacked knowledge, and he absolutely had to, if you actually believe the word of God. Paul lacked knowledge of certain things, of his redemption. He lacked knowledge of his redemption. In other words, what I'm saying is to you, is that Paul did not know that he was redeemed from certain things, that he was redeemed from, and therefore suffered at the hands of people unnecessarily. Okay? Now, it's like to say this like 40 minutes into the message or something like that is really not a good thing. But it is a good thing because the Lord wants to do it this way. Paul, so when I say that Paul did not understand things, I'm not telling you that Paul knew it and just needed to grow more. Because then we say, we all lack knowledge. You don't have to have voids of knowledge in your mind that you don't understand that Jesus actually did that for you. We're all growing. But the thing is, there's a difference, like I said before. Look at the parable of the seed and the sower. You just understand the difference between people that don't have a knowledge versus people that have a knowledge and are growing in it. And Paul did not have in his physical mind certain knowledge that would have caused him to utilize his redemption. Paul did not accept certain redemption that he had in Jesus that caused him, in an ungodly fact, it wasn't the way it was supposed to happen. Paul suffered at the hands of people unnecessarily. Those sufferings that Paul went through did not give him any up on another person. There wasn't some respectable thing that he just endured and now he's going to get some special reward in heaven because he went through special sufferings. That was not the way it's supposed to be. And the only way that you could think that it's the way it's supposed to be is to be looking at Paul instead of looking at Jesus in Scripture. Because the only reason why we think, well, no, Paul suffered, but it was supposed to happen like that is because you're looking at Paul and assuming that if something happened in Paul's life, it must be because it's the way it's supposed to be. Versus comparing Paul with what you know about Jesus and what we just read are absolutely the things that will come upon you and overtake you if you hear the voice of God and believe him. You just heard what we just read. If you hear Jesus and you believe him, in essence, what we're saying is if you believe correctly, if you'll hear the voice of Jesus and allow Jesus to build the correct knowledge in your heart of what he's done for you, these blessings shall. It's not an option. You don't get an option. It's not that you can know about your redemption in Jesus and just like, I choose not to have the fruit. You don't get to choose. I gave this example on the Sunday previous, but I said it's like somebody believing on the name of the Lord Jesus and calling upon his name and not getting saved. No, Lord, I don't want to get saved. I just want to believe on Jesus. You don't get a choice. If you believe in Jesus, God's going to save you, right? You don't get a choice. You don't get a choice as to the fruit. You just get a choice as to what you hear and what you believe. That's all you get a choice of. If you hear Jesus to believe him, verse 2, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. There's no options. I'm not going to read all the blessings again for the sake of time. I would read just some specific ones if I had time, but we don't. We just read about anyone that rise up against you. It said that they will be struck down before your face, smitten before your face. It said they will come to you, come against you one way, and flee before you seven ways. All the nations of the earth will be afraid of you. Can I ask you something? Those things, well, let me just make a point real quick. You do not see those things in Paul's life. You don't see those things in Paul's life. And you know what? And there was a lot of things you saw in Paul's life, but you don't see that in Paul's life. You don't see it in Paul's life. Many people came against Paul, and he suffered those things at their hands. And you say, well, yeah, but Jesus suffered. He he's just being like Jesus. Jesus suffered for us. So he's just being like Jesus. Jesus suffered for us because he took on our sin. The only people that are cut out for suffering are the people that are still in their sins. That's why Jesus could suffer. That's why he didn't suffer before it. That's why he suffered while he was in our sins. Jesus suffered because he was in our sin. Unless you're in your sins, you're not cut out for it. And Paul was not in his sin. Paul did not have to go through those things. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. I'm going to read you a little passage in Hebrews, and we're going to have to close right there, all right? Read you a little passage in Hebrews. That's the place where it names all these things that people did by faith, right? Just so you know, I've never taught on this before, okay? So this is new in teaching-wise. Hebrews 11. But let's just look. I'm going to switch back to New King James Version. Let's keep in mind, before I even read this to you, this is more of a confirmation verse. This is not going to convince anybody, this verse. You have to know this from what the Word of God says are the results of wisdom. We just read the results of wisdom. Can I tell you this very plainly? If you don't have those results, there's something up with wisdom. If that is not commonplace in the body of Christ, the things that are named in those blessings, it's because of lack of knowledge. Period, right? Now, we know that ourselves, but I'm saying it for the sake of those listening on the recording also. He said, if you do this, you get this. So if you don't get this, something wrong with this, right? If you do this cause, believe on me, you get this effect. There was nothing strange about what we just read. It was very clear. And just so you know, that is all over the Bible. We read Proverbs 2, for instance. Read the book of Proverbs and read the results of the righteous, the results of those who believe on Jesus. They look very dissimilar to certain things that Paul went through. Okay? So let's look at God's word, what he has to testify of who we are in Christ. And let's even when reading what Paul wrote, let's not see Paul, let's see Jesus. And then we'll compare Paul with what we know about Jesus, and then we'll be able to see everything clearly. If God says you do this and you get this, if you're not getting this, it's because you didn't do this in some way. Right? That's clear. That's black and white. Now, we just said, now that could mean you're growing in it, so that's good, and you'll get fruit. But you just keep your eyes on the Lord, and you take it the whole way, and that will produce fruit in your life. But it also can be that you absolutely lack knowledge in that area. Something up with this, if this doesn't happen. If God says, when you do this, you get this. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. I remember when I was little, reading about, these signs shall follow those who believe. They'll take up serpents, and they'll do this, and they'll speak with other tongues. And I thought, man, lots of these things, Lord, we don't see in the church today. And I thought, you know what, Lord, there must be something with the way that we believe today. He said, if you believe, these things will happen. So you know what? Enough said with that. We understand that, right? And I'm only saying this to uphold what Jesus says rather than what people say. That's what the Lord says. Okay, very, very quickly. This is literally my last passage. I'm going to have to do this. No justice, really. But you look at this for yourself, okay? You read this chapter for yourself if you want to. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to have to explain it rather than read it to you. It names all these people. And if you'll notice a pattern in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, they this. By faith, they this. By faith, they this. By faith, they this. Every single time it talks of a new instance of a new person who did some kind of thing, whether it was some miraculous thing the Lord produced through them, or whether it was some kind of provision, or whatever it was, it says, by faith they this, by faith they this. If you've read that chapter before, you know what I'm talking about. You can even read. I can go anywhere almost in this chapter, and you see this. Watch. I find the word faith. Look at it talks about all, look at this is talking about Abraham. Look, by faith Sarah herself received strength. Here it talks about by faith he dwelt in the land. Obviously, by faith Abraham obeyed. All these things, by faith Noah. Every single instance it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. Now, just so you know, if you're reading this chapter, I want to explain some things to you right now, but I'm not going to. It talks about, it does talk about Old Testament people, and it says some really Old Testament things. But for right now, let's just look at this. It names all these Old Testament people, and it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, right? Real, real, real quick. Like I said, this verse is not my explanation of why I know that Paul lacked knowledge. This is just the confirmation. You know how I know Paul lacked knowledge? Because if God says, you do this and you get this, if you're not getting this, you didn't do this. Period, right? If God says, wisdom will do this for you. If God says, you do this and all your enemies will flee from you. If this is not happening, then this is not happening. That's the way that it is. That's the thing is, But we don't, we will water that down to uphold the fact that Paul didn't lack knowledge. But the thing is, it just told you Paul lacked knowledge. He said, you listen to me. You know me correctly. This is going to happen in your life. If this doesn't happen in your life, guess what I know? You need to know Jesus correctly. This explained. This is so, when you read Hebrews 11, it just makes sense. Well, by faith, Noah was saved from the destruction that came upon the earth. By faith, Sarah received strength that she could conceive seed. All these things sound a lot like blessed be the fruit of your body. Blessed be this. Blessed. It sounds right. Everything sounds right so far, right? By faith, this happened. Well, guess what? If hold on with me, right? I'm making a point right now. If God says you believe me correctly, listen to me. I'll put that faith in your mind. If you believe me correctly, all these things are going to happen to you. It makes sense then when you read Hebrews 11 about all these people who did this part. Makes sense they'd get this part. Doesn't that just make sense? If God says you do this cause, you're going to get this effect, it makes sense that when someone does the cause, they get the effect. Right? I mean, I know that may blow your mind, but if God says you do this and you're going to get this, I'd expect that that's true. And everybody that's on the recording and everybody in this room can make their own decision as to whether you want to believe what God says is true or not. But if God tells me, you do this, you're going to get this, and I believe that what God said is true, and I will sacrifice anybody's reputation over sacrificing God's reputation. God said it, and it's true. God said, if you believe me correctly, this is going to happen in your life, and all your enemies will flee from you, and I'll smite them before your face, and I'll put the fear of you in them, and you'll be above all the nations of the world. Set you as a holy people, above everybody, and you'll never be the tail. I'll make you above in everything. If you don't get that, I know something up with the first part then. God just said that's an effect to a cause. And you can't do the cause right if you're not getting that. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm saying this to uphold that God is true, even if it would make Paul a liar. And I'm saying this theoretically, but even if it made Paul a liar, I'll say God's true any day over Paul. Paul did not do the cause right because I know he didn't get the effect. And that's just as simple as that. Now, I won't go any further than that because it's the truth. I will uphold that God is true over saying Paul didn't lack any knowledge. Of course he did. And I love Paul. And we've received from what the Holy Spirit has done through Paul. And I respect Paul. And I'm not disrespecting Paul. At the same time, he lacked knowledge. And that's not an option. It is a fact he lacked knowledge. He lived his entire life suffering things that God said he didn't have to. And that is a fact. And other apostles as well. There is no such thing as a martyr, or martyrdom, if that's how you say it, but there's no such thing as a martyr that died and had to. No such thing. No such thing. And that's going to, like, woo, ruffle the feathers of, like, a whole lot of people. And honestly, I'm being honest, I'm not saying this to ruffle people's feathers. I'm telling you this because we need to know this, because people are perishing without knowledge. That's why I'm saying this. I'd rather people live that want to hear me and be hated by people that don't, than for everybody to die because I didn't say nothing. I'd rather us know Jesus. By faith, just makes sense. All these people that it, just so you know, read Hebrews 11 for yourself. Every person, when it says by faith, the results that followed their faith match what God said would happen when you believed him. Except, you look at these people down here, all of a sudden it talks about these people, and you'll notice a difference. Watch this. You can see all this, right? I'm not making this up. By faith, Isaac blessed. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of his sons. By faith, and just so you know, these people, even Jacob that was just mentioned there, these people did get adverse results many times in their life. But Hebrews 11 doesn't say those adverse results came by faith. When it names the result of what happened by their faith, it's always results that match the results of faith in Deuteronomy or anywhere else in the Bible, like Proverbs or anywhere else, right? Let's read this one last thing. With all that in mind, I could go on. I'm serious. I could go on an explanation. Let's just read these couple verses here. I can't even do that. I'm sorry. I got to close up. If you were to start especially in verse 32, he talked about by faith they subdued kings, they worked righteous, they obtained promise, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. All this sounds a lot like the results of keeping the commandments of God, right? Which is believing Jesus correctly. It comes from hearing him. out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Sounds all like our inheritance, doesn't it? And what did it start out saying? Through faith, all these results happened. And with every other instance in Hebrews 11 where it names these results, the fruit of our inheritance, it says, by faith it happened. They understood Jesus, and the promises of Deuteronomy were manifest in their life, as it was said that it would, because God is true. Except, look at these people. Right after it says this, others. Do you see this? Others. That word should ring in your head like a bell in your head. Ding, 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 ding. What's missing there? Ding, 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 ding. This would be like an alarm going off in your head. What two words are missing in this passage here? He just says others. If you were to look at every other person in the entire chapter, it says, what happened? By faith, they received this result. By faith, they received this result. Except these people, it doesn't say that these results. Now, these people that it mentions here are talking about people of faith that believed on Jesus, that they were, that you could say, for lack of a better term, Christians. So I'm not saying that they weren't righteous through Jesus, but these results that it names, it does not say these results came via faith. Why did it omit by faith? Because these things don't happen in believing Jesus. They don't happen. Deuteronomy didn't say, your enemies will come before you one way, and if it's for the sake of the gospel, they'll attack you and you'll die from it. Where did it say that? It didn't say, they'll come before you one way, and depending on what they're coming against you for, like if they're coming against you just because they don't like you, they'll be split seven ways. But if they're coming against you for the gospel, we like to divvy it up. Just so you know, life comes from Jesus and death comes from sin. If you believe on Jesus, you'll receive that life. If you don't, you'll die. People that don't believe on Jesus die. Period, right? You believe on Jesus, and for even for Christians, you believe on Jesus correctly, you're going to live. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe on me, you'll never die. What's so hard to believe about that? If people experience death in their life, it's because of what happened. They didn't believe in Jesus correctly. He said, believe on me, you'll never die. Okay, good enough for me. I'll live then. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. We just want to look at everything, everybody else but Jesus in Scripture. We want to measure our inheritance by everybody else but Jesus. Paul's an awesome guy, but Paul lacked knowledge. Paul's not our example. I love Paul, but Paul's not our example. I don't look for Paul in the Bible. I look for Jesus in the Bible. Otherwise, just so you know, this is the only reason why people can even come to these conclusions, because they're looking at everybody else. Look at, if you read Scripture, this is cohesive with Jesus. This is cohesive with the work of the cross, and this is cohesive with the benefits of faith, or lack of it, you could say. Others, doesn't say by faith. They were tortured. And just so you know, I can't even go into all this. Because there's detailed explanation I can go in with the next part. But just so you know, this word deliverance, I'll just say this very quickly, is the word for redemption. And when it says they were tortured, these people were tortured, it says, I have an explanation to give on this verse, but I can't right now. So let me stop right here and let me just say this. Let me read some of these results to you. It says they had trials of mockings, scourgings, that's being whipped, beaten. Yes, of chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Remember, they're Christians, so that's proper to say. The world wasn't fit for them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Now watch this. I'm going to get to verse 39 in a second. Well, let me read it. All these having obtained a good testimony through faith. What result did they receive through faith? A good testimony that they were righteous. All these other results that it names about these people who were Christians, all these results, it neglected for this one passage in the whole chapter. It did not say, by faith they were tortured. By faith they endured mockings and scourgings. By faith they were enchained and in prison. By faith they were stoned. Not one time in that entire passage. And you know what? That shouldn't be hard to believe. Because God never has ever told someone in one square inch of the entire Bible, if you believe on me, you just might die in this way, or in this way, or in this way, or in this way. Jesus died for us. The Bible said the love of God that we might live through him. If you believe correctly on that, the fruit of it comes out in your life, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And you know what? Just like the Lord, I'll just repeat something the Lord said on Friday. This is not a frivolous gift to live. This is a paid-for gift, and it was done by God because it was rightful to give us this gift, because it was paid for with the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not frivolous. It's the way it's supposed to be, because somebody died to get us this gift, and I won't neglect it or make it in vain. he already gave it. And the people that went through these things, thank God for the things that God did in their life, but these specific results, not one of them says by faith. Because this happened for lack of it, not for the presence of it. And I'll just close with that. Okay? This is supposed to be something to clarify your mind and answer a question in your mind. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. This is the inheritance that God's given us. He said, if you listen to me, I'll take you in. And you know how to keep questioning, but what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? Because you understand what's going on now. And really, it shouldn't be hard to believe. This is the way that Jesus has always taught us. That this is what he's provided. And like I said, you listen to Jesus, he'll build faith in your mind. And you'll live in this abundance that God wants you to live if you listen to him. Thank God for the things that God did in these people's lives, but these people didn't do these things by faith. And that's clear from what's written. And I'm not taking one word out of context. Everything I'm saying right now is absolutely 100% in context with Scripture. Because I'm looking toward to see Jesus in what's written, not to see somebody else. I respect those people that are written, but I need to see Jesus, right? We all need to see Jesus. So, okay, so we're going to close right there, okay? Like I said, this is maybe I don't. Hopefully, it's not like a heavy spot to leave off. But that's to answer a question. If we had more time, we'd go further. But this is good for right now. That should definitely answer some questions for you. Okay, and we'll see what the Lord says in future services. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much, Father, for your inheritance, Lord. This should just make us confident, Lord, that we know where this is the question that God wanted to answer tonight. He wants you to know where you're headed if you listen to him. And that's the question right there. He doesn't want you to be unsure about your future or about your destination. If you are going to listen to this person, you should know where that's going to lead you. And God wants you to know tonight where listening to him is going to cause you to end up. Deuteronomy just names a few things. Ultimately, obviously, we know it's the being conformed to the image of Jesus is really what it is. Deuteronomy just mentions a whole bunch of attributes of that. And we thank you, Jesus, so much for making your people confident, Lord, for taking out every obstacle out of our way. And this question, Lord, has been an obstacle. Thank you for taking this obstacle out of our way so we can be all the more confirmed and firm and established in I know where I'm headed and I know where I'm going if I hear Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, so much. We know where we're headed, and thank you for clarifying where we're headed, and also tonight, where we are not headed, what we are being sanctified from if we listen to you. So we thank you, Jesus, so much, Lord, that these things have never been ours, Lord, but when we listen to you, we experience all the fruit of it, and we thank you, Jesus, for it. We don't belong to this world, and we don't belong to the things of it, Father. And Jesus, thank you, that's the redemption that you gave us, Lord. And Lord, we see the fruit of that, Lord. And all of us in this room, Lord, and anyone that hears, even people on the recording right now, anyone that hears you, Jesus, experiences this fruit, Lord. And that's where we're headed, Lord, for anyone that hears Jesus. You will take us into everything on the inside of us if we listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we thank you for answering our questions in the name of Jesus.